Let us start from the beginning. A person who wants to gain the enlightenment or to become a Buddha, and person who wants to become a Paccheka Buddha or Arahant, there are three ways for them to practice dana. Life after life, they have to practice this dana in order to eradicate their craving and selfishness. So what are those three ways? Dana paramita, dana upaparamita, dana paramartha paramita. The first one is dana paramita. This is very common. Anyone can practice. We are doing it. That means donating or sacrificing or offering any material things such as food or donations or clothing or medicines, any kinds of donation. People are doing this. This is not very difficult to practice. Anyone can practice. And the second stage is difficult. That is called dana upaparamita, higher than the first one. In simple language, donate something from our physical body, either blood, or eyes, or kidneys, or hair, or teeth. You can donate your teeth also to Home for the Aged, you know. And skin, anything whatever they like. Reduce a strong attachment and craving towards your own physical body. That is the main purpose. For the benefit or the welfare of others. So people are very selfish. Even after their death also, they never give their consent earlier to donate their eyes or kidneys because of selfishness and superstitious ideas. So Buddhism directly encouraged people to practice this because the Buddha says, I gained my enlightenment through the practice of this dana in these three ways. That is called dana upaparamita. Then the other one is called dana paramartha. Paramartha means highest. Sacrificing the whole life for the welfare of others. This is very difficult. What does it mean? It does not mean that we must die purposely. The idea is, when others are in trouble or difficulties, we come forward to give our helping hand to relieve their suffering. In the process of our struggle to support them, we may die. But we do not worry about that. Earlier, we make up our mind. It doesn't matter. Let me sacrifice my life for the welfare of others. Such people are regarded as great people in this world. There were many in the human history who have done this. To them, their services and principles are more important than this temporary physical body. They try to uphold their principle without violating, without hurting and disturbing others. Let us take few. Why Jesus Christ had to die earlier? because of his principles. He was a great man. As Buddhists, we never condemn or criticize Jesus. There is no reason. We can respect him. No harm at all, because he has done a wonderful service, and his life also he had to sacrifice because of his principles. Of course, after his death, his disciples have narrated all sorts of cock and bull stories, and he had to die to take away our sins and all sorts of things. To us, they are not very important, but we respect him as a religious teacher. Let us take another person. Socrates. He had to die earlier because of his principles. He was a wonderful man, man of principles. Those days in Greece, the death sentence is only asking to drink poisons. So he was sentenced to death, and when he was in the jail, people knew this is a great man. Some of them in the jail told him, if you want to escape, we can help you. Then he told, do you think that I can escape from death? Yes, I can escape this death from this jail, but later again I had to face it. So why not I face it here and finish? So he had to die because of his principles. Mahatma Gandhi in India, when Hindus and Muslims were killing each other, he, being a Hindu, advised Hindus not to disturb Muslims. But a fanatical Hindu youth could not tolerate this, and he was shot dead because of his non-violence. The Buddha, people tried to kill him 3 times, but no one can kill a Buddha. The Buddhas face natural death. Even then, people tried to kill him. Abraham Lincoln in America had to die earlier because of his principles, because he wanted to give more freedom to black people. Others could not tolerate it. So when you study the human history, you can see there were many who agreed, knowing that they had to face untimely death, upheld all the principles and the good qualities without violating them. That is why even after 2,000 years, we talk about them, we respect them, we bow down, respect them, because of this sacrifice. How many millions and billions and trillions and others died? But do we remember them? Do we respect them? Because they have not shown any good example for us to follow. Therefore, the Buddha has mentioned this. Rupam jirati macchanam nam guttam na jirati. This is a very meaningful saying. Man's physical body dies, decay and die. Nam guttam na jirati. But his name and the influence created by this man, Najirati, never die. Names never die. Physical body decay and die and disappear. Today, we talk about the Buddha and Jesus and Socrates and Gandhi and all those great people. But their physical bodies are no more here. So according to that monk, Australian monk, their brains are still working, you know. So, we may talk another few thousand years, never forget their name because of this principle. And now you can understand why the Buddhas and Paccheka Buddhas and Arahantas had to practice this dana in three ways to reduce their selfishness, craving, egoism, and these are the hindrances for their spiritual development. They did not gain their enlightenment through any divine inspiration or by performing any religious rites and rituals or worshipping and praying, but by cultivating all the great virtues, upholding all the good principles, and supporting the mankind. Then they have sacrifices, all these things, to release others' suffering. So we are so selfish. Even after our death also, earlier, we are reluctant to give our consent to donate our eyes or kidneys. So otherwise, we never get the chance to reduce our selfishness and craving. Again, another important saying. The purpose of our living. What is the purpose? Parartha charyaya satang hi jivana. This is the purpose. Understanding people regard the purpose of their life is to do some service to others. Parartha charyaya. To do some service to others. That is the purpose. To many people, the purpose is to enjoy their life. To eat more and enjoy, that is called purpose of life. In the end, what do they gain? Nothing. So when we serve others, in return, we serve ourselves automatically. Can you understand that? We cannot serve others by maintaining anger, jealousy, grudge, and selfishness. So we have to reduce these evil forces from our mind to serve others. So when we serve others to relieve their suffering, we reduce our human weaknesses and mental defilement at the same time. We cultivate certain great qualities. What are those things? We develop kindness, compassion. We maintain patience. And we practice generosity. We contribute something. These are the good qualities. Then, in return, we experience more peace, happiness. So, without doing some service to others, simply by enjoying our life in worldly way, we never make use of this life for good purpose. Do you know? Artha gruhe nirtante smasane mitra bandhava sukritang duskritang chaiva gacchanta manugacchati this saying in Sanskrit language gives another meaning. So whatever we have accumulated during our lifetime as our property, money, jewelry, land, houses, anything, grihe nivrtante, after our death, everything remains at home. At home, mosamyael. We cannot carry with us. When we die, we cannot carry anything with us. We never realize this. Of course, some people, I think started by primitive people, they put something into the coffin, thinking that departed man can carry all these things, clothing and money and rice and so many things they put in the coffin, thinking that this man can carry to the next world. A rich man who strongly believes that he can take his property to the next world after his death, what he did? He has given, say, 100,000 to his doctor, another 100,000 to his lawyer, another 100,000 to his priest. I do not know which religion. Whether Buddhist priest or Christian priest, I do not know. Because he did not trust his family members and told him, after my death, in front of others, you must put this money into my coffin. They said, okay. So, this man died. Those three also came to the graveyard. Then, the doctor came and told him, yes, he has given me 100,000, but I have treated him for many years. He did not pay my medical bill. So I have taken only 25,000. The balance I can put in the coffin. Then the priest came. He said, yes, he has given me 100,000. Do you know our place of worship, the building, the roof was leaking, and I had to renovate. I spent 50,000. So I can put only 50,000. Then the lawyer came. You know, lawyers, they work according to the law. They never violate the law. You know? He called at the other two. You have violated your promise. You have taken this poor man's money. Anyway, I am going to replace 25,000, 50,000, and my 100,000 added all together. Then he issued a cash tax, post-dated, and account pay, and put into the coffin the whole amount for him to take to the next world. Remember, when we accumulate something and ask people to put into the coffin, and what will happen? And some people say Chinese are the most cleverest people on this earth, because they are the ones who have discovered the currency note for the next world. Even those who have landed on the moon also could not discover this kind of thing. Because you have opened a bank account in the hell bank, so produce the currency note here. This is the way. Some religion means those who take the advantage of ignorance and superstitious ideas, take the advantage of encouraging people to do this. Because of those activities, poor Buddhism get the blame. So, remember, whatever we have accumulated, we cannot carry into the next world. Smasane mitra bandhava. Our friends and relatives follow up to a graveyard or crematorium. But nobody wants to go with this man. When they go, they cry. Cry and cry and cry. When they come back home, laugh. And find out, and fight for the property. Sukritang duskritang chaiva. But that departed person also taken something with him. Sukritang duskritang. Whatever good and bad deeds that he has done during his lifetime, we introduce this as good karma and bad karma. These two things follow, never disappear. These two things follow wherever we go, just like our shadow. And these are the things that others cannot disturb. Your property can be robbed by thieves. Your property can be destroyed by fire, flood, or any volcanic eruptions or earthquake. Even though the government also can confiscate your property. But good karma and bad karma that you have accumulated during your lifetime, no one can touch. Others cannot interfere, cannot interrupt. That is why Buddha says, Punyani paralokasmin patittha honti paninam. If there is anything to support us after our death, only our good karma. Property cannot do anything. Whatever we have done during our lifetime support us in the next life. So, this kind of donation, organ, or what anything from our physical body, is one of the important factors. I have seen this on two occasions. But usually people invite us to go and perform last rites before their death. How death takes place? A clinical death. The definitions of death clinically, when doctors come and examine, if no heartbeat, no pulse here, they say, death. That is clinical death. So one day when I was in Asunta hospital, an old lady, in front of her I was doing some chanting. Then suddenly, all her relatives also watching, and suddenly, the doctor also, nurses also came, he said, no more heart beating, no more pulse, already dead. Then I was watching. But within 1 or 2 minutes, the nurse already confirmed, no more heartbeat, no more pulse. After 1 or 2 minutes, I saw, again she opened her mouth and closed. That is the death, the brain. Heart may stop, but the oxygen and the energy that accumulated in the brain can work for sometimes 2-3 minutes. When the brain cells started, the stop, the real death takes place. That is why that monk has said, after donating our eyes or kidneys also, brains is still working. It's only a matter of 1 or 2 minutes, not more than that. Then, what is the definition given by the Buddha about our death? How death takes place? That is very important. That is clinical death. But the interpretations or the definition given in Buddhism gives more details. Ayu, Usmacch, Vinyana. These three energies must depart from physical body. Otherwise, death never take place. Now, this is the definition. What are those three things? Ayu means when conception take place in the mother's womb, or when rebirth take place, one particular karma, amongst those various karmas, one particular karma is responsible for our lifespan, how long we can survive, we can exist in this world. That particular karma is responsible for that. That is why you can see some babies die in the mother's womb, have no chance to come out also. And some die immediately after giving birth. And some, when they are small children or as youths or in the middle age, and some up to the maximum level, say about 80, 90, 100 years. And where is the secret? The secret is that particular karma, which is called generative karma. That generative karma is responsible for the lifespan. Certain other karmas are responsible to lead a comfortable, happy, prosperous, contented life. Certain other bad karmas are responsible to interrupt, to disturb, to destroy our way of life. There are various kind of karmas. Here the Buddha says, when this particular generative karma is extinguished, no more functioning, that person cannot survive anymore. This is one factor. Second factor is heat energy. Pathavi, Apo, Tejo, Vayo, four elements, solidity, fluid, heat, and motion, four elements. But the heat energy is the most important element for our survival. Other three elements also exist in the physical body, maintained by the heat energy. So when the heat energy is departed, the other three elements also separate. Now when you observe a dead body, so immediately after death, when you touch, you can see no more temperature. The body is very cold. That means death has taken place. So when heat energy is no more, what will happen? Then the other three, fluid. After a few days' time, you can see how fluid started coming. Then after a few days' time, again you can see flesh also again separate. In the end, you can see only bones, solidity. And these bones also remain for a few years, turn into earth. Absorb all the four elements are absorbed into the basic four elements again after our death. So the heat energy is very important to maintain our life. So that also must be separated. Then the last one is more complicated. That is called consciousness. Here consciousness means mental energy. The death never takes place as long as mental energy remains. And where does it remain? Now this is a very controversial issue. Where is the mind? Ancient philosophy in India and China regarded that the mind is in our heart. That is why we say kind-hearted man. But they believe the kindness is in the heart. Later, modern medical science, when they observe more and more, they found out mind is not in our heart. They thought it is in our brain. Because they have seen how these things in our brain function, and by giving anesthetic injection, and how people go to sleep, and why no feeling at that time, because they thought the mind is not functioning. They numb the brain cells to avoid the feeling. So they thought the mind is in the brain. Modern psychologists found out mind is neither in the heart nor in the brain. Then where is the mind now? Then what are we going to do now? Remember, mind is not located anywhere in our physical body. Mind is an energy. Mind is a byproduct of brain and heart. Both must cooperate, work together. It is just like engine and dynamo. You know, how we get electricity? You must have a dynamo. We must have an engine. When this engine and dynamo join together, the frictions of this produce electricity. It is a current. In the same way, the brain and the heart work together, the energy that come out, the outcome of it is the mental energy. So mental energy never settled down, never located in any particular area in our body. So mental energy is supported by the blood. Now this is the latest discovery by the modern psychologists. Later they may find out something else. Then what is the Buddha's interpretation about this? He also said something. When you read Dhammapada, there is a stanza. Durangamang ekacharang asarirang guhasayang ye chittang sanyamissanti mukhanti marabandana. This is the Buddha saying. Durangamang. The mind can run very fast. There is nothing here in this world which we can compare with the mind which can run so rapidly. You see, 1,000,000 times higher than the lightning. You understand? So when you want to see the lightning, just look at, finish, no more. No time to see. This is the nature of lightning. But the mental energy works 1,000,000 times higher than that. This is the nature of the mind. That is why we can send this mental energy to any part of the universe. Durangama, ekacharan. Two minds never work together. Do you know? Today, we have on this earth, I think nearly 5,000 million human beings. Can you find out two persons who got the same mentality, same way of thinking? never, never appear in this world. Each and every person has his or her own way of thinking. You think husband and wife who lived more than 50 to 100 years together, they are both of their minds are working together. Every day they fight. Different mentality. So Eka Charan, the Buddha says, mind works alone, no companion for our mind. Asariran, there is no form or the formation or the shape. Mind has no shape. That means invisible. Durangamang ekacharang asarina. Then, guhasayan. By taking this word, I think the ancient philosophers introduced this as the mind settled down in the heart. Here the Buddha word is the movement of the mind take place through a channel or a cavity. By taking this word, the philosophers thought it must be in the heart. But the Buddha has never mentioned whether it is in the heart or the brain, because he has used the word very carefully. So, death never takes place until this mental energy or the consciousness separate. But people ask this question. Supposing few hundred people dies, face instant death due to plane crash within 1 minute. Now, Buddhism says, before our death, there are three stages. What are those three? Kamma, kamma nimitta, gati nimitta. Unless and until the mental energy goes through these three stages, death never takes place. The physical body is mesh, turn into ashes. But still, death never takes place. Because it is an energy. No one can destroy this energy. Fire or atomic energy also cannot destroy this energy. That's what Albert Einstein has said. Atomic energy changed the whole world. Even then, this atomic energy also cannot change the man's mind. So no one can destroy. So this mental energy goes through these three stages. What is it? Within 1 second can do this. First thing, all the good and bad karmas that we have accumulated during our lifetime functioning. And one of the karmic thoughts appear in that mind, at that moment. That is the first stage. Either good one or bad one, but we cannot create that purposely. The second stage, kamma nimitta. That means some sort of indication according to that karmic thought. What is this indication? If it is a good thought, then brightness, flowers, waterfalls, similar to that. If it is a bad thought, in the jungle, darkness, animals, some sort of indication appear in the dying man's mind. Then the last one is gati nimitta. before this mental energy or the consciousness depart or transmit from here, the destiny or the fate of this dying man appear in the same mind. That means the object this person grasps into the same mind before death takes place. So the belief that many people maintain after our death, our departed soul or spirits or something remain for a certain period in searching for a suitable place to settle down as rebirth. The Buddhism or the basic teachings of the Buddha never support this idea. There is no intermediate state between death and conception again. When once it is transmitted from here, cannot remain halfway. For example, when you shoot an arrow, that arrow must reach and drop. Halfway, it is impossible to remain. When you shoot a bullet, that bullet also must reach some sort of target. Halfway, cannot remain. When you throw a stone, also in the same manner. So when death takes place, it's exactly like this, must reach. Then how this interpretation or the belief people have developed? Amongst those 31 planes of existence, where rebirth can take place after our death, two kinds of spirit forms are there. It is not, or these two places are not an intermediate state, interval in between death and rebirth. Rebirth already has taken place. Invisible existence. So we introduce them as spirits or ghosts, or we have different names. They may remain there for a long period, or a short period, or maybe few days. Rebirth already taken place there. Then from there again another rebirth, because in the waiting list we have so many good and bad karmas. A store that is called storehouse of consciousness. Modern psychology says storehouse of consciousness. And Buddhist scholars also introduced this as alaya vijnana, accumulated good and bad karma. Again, modern psychologists introduced this as collective consciousness. Recently they discovered this. Collective consciousness means our habit, our tendencies, our inclination, our likes and dislikes all depend on this collective consciousness. But earlier, medical science introduced this as genes or protein molecules. But psychology say, no, further than, something to do with mental relationship. The same thing the Buddha has explained earlier by using one word, that is called sankhara. Sankhara means all our habits. We have our own character, behavior, temperament, mood, attitude, our own. Not given by our parents or God or devil. Our own. You can see in one family, assume there are 5 children. From the same father, same mother, same blood. Takes the same milk, same food. Study their character, behavior, temperament, moods and attitude, entirely different. And who created this discrimination? One is criminal-minded, another one is very kind and nice and honest, another one is very stingy, another one is very generous, another one is very religious-minded, another one is a gangster. same parent, same blood, same milk. How and why these discriminations took place? Who is responsible for them? And also not so easy to change their way of life. Parents try their best, cannot change. Governments also try by punishing them, cannot change. Religious teachers also try, cannot change. That is their habit. That is what the Buddha, modern psychologist, mentions. We have something, our intrinsic, or by nature, our own habit. Our food, clothing, colors, hobbies, all these things depend on this, our mental habit. These habits we continue life after life. Now within this lifetime, you develop your attachment, your inclination towards certain things. Then this will become your mental habit. In the next birth also, very easily you get into the same life. Now, I think you have heard some children, genius. From their childhood, automatically, how they have become artist, mathematician, singers, that is their previous experience. If you observe the behavior of small children, there are noticeable attitude. Some children like to play with medical instruments. They want medical instruments. Some people like to play with certain things used by the carpenters to play. And especially girls, they like cooking and cutting vegetables and also collect all sorts of rubbish and cook and take empty glass. There's nothing and drink. Nothing inside the glass. The way how they play, observe very carefully. Their habits. And some children like to read the book. If they can read, always they'll very hard to stop. And some people like to draw pictures. Always draw pictures. All these are habits. And some children like to kill any creatures, any insect, kill. I remember what my mother told me. After becoming a monk, she told me this one. When I was a small baby, the mother told me, and I happened to see an ant, I follow this ant without doing this, you know. My mother told me. That is my habit. Even today, I can say, for the last 65 years, I have never killed even a mosquito, purposely thinking that I want to kill. I cannot do that. First time in my life, I have seen how people slaughter chicken. I have never seen in my life in Singapore. Within few minutes, my heartbeat increased and the palpitation, because I cannot tolerate. That is called fear of cruelty. Cannot tolerate the cruelty. Second time I have seen how they shoot the crow around this area. So when I observe how they drop, I could not tolerate, so I had to take Valium tablet, tranquilizer, yes, to console myself. I am not used to that way of life, but to others, the way how they enjoy, you know, how this poor creature dies and struggle for life, they enjoy. The Buddha has given revealed something. He had a severe headache, the Buddha. Then he explained to his disciple, "Do you know why I am suffering from this headache for many years? During one of my previous births, when I was going somewhere, I saw a man catching fish from a river. So he also went there. Then he enjoyed and seen how these fish struggle on the land. You know, after catching, they throw the land. Then these fish jump and jump and jump, and he enjoyed it. And having seen this, and by enjoying the emotion that I indulge, entertain, at the cost of others' life, this is the effect. That means we should not give moral support. Best thing is to avoid. If you happen to see if anybody is violating, torturing, killing, or robbing, we should not give our moral support. Otherwise, we also share the bad effect of this. So the mental habits depend on our attitude, our way of life. Now, if you are religious-minded, sometimes parents also never support. I met many young boys and girls. They say, "We like to come to the temple, to attend the religious talk and religious classes, but our parents never encourage us, never allow us to come." They like. That is their habit. But some others beg their children to go to the temple, to attend religious classes. Children say, "Nothing doing. We are not interested." Because they are not used to that way of life. So all our habits are like that. So, mental habit, we continue life after life. Good things or bad things. In between, certain other good karmas and bad karmas either support or oppose. And destructive and obstructive. And supportive. Karmas always change our way of life. We cannot understand this thing. So death takes place when all these things are separated. Our maximum lifespan generated by the karmic energy, heat energy, and the consciousness or the mental energy. When these three energies completely separated, then we can confirm already death has taken place. So that this belief that in certain countries they have discovered, doctors have confirmed that this person is dead. After many hours, they have seen that again that dead person opened his eyes and started to talk. Because there were many incidents, especially in Russia. 45 hours after, confirmed by the doctors, here in this country, not only in this country, two doctors must confirm. Then they accept that this person is dead. Otherwise they cannot touch. So don't worry about that.